Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On our program today, we'll be talking with Ty Cobb, a former assistant to President Reagan, who's an expert on the Middle East. We'll be talking about drones, sequestration in the Middle East. And on our Power Pundit panel today, we have Robin Reedy, who's a partner in R Politics, Sean Carey, vice president of Nevada Matters Media, and Alyssa Caffaretta, who's a lobbyist for Planned Parenthood. All coming up on the next new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates more than 50,000 jobs. Mining contributes more than $300 million in annual tax revenue, with more than 61% going to the state to fund our schools and senior programs. And mining invests right here, where you live, work, and go to school, paying more taxes per employee than any other industry in the state. In good times and hard times, mining is working for Nevada families, working for you. Visit our website and learn more.
Business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm talking to Ty Cobb today. Ty, it's good to see you again.
Brandy, always good.
So let's start a little bit about sequestration. We're at day two, I guess, technically, and planes haven't fallen out of the skies.
World's not ended.
Stock markets actually hit a new time high. Seems like there was a lot of hype going into this. Is this all hype? Is there actually going to be some cuts? Are we going to see some pain? Or is this really, it's only, what, 2.3% of our federal budget? So
it's 2.3%, and in reality, it's a modest attempt at reining in our out-of-control debt, which is approaching $17 trillion right now. Sequestration was designed to be so ugly that nobody would possibly let it happen, but it did. The impact, immediately, not much. As you saw, the stock market shrugged it off. Life goes on. There's been no air traffic control delays to date. The cuts will gradually take place over the next few months, and it will affect the defense sector more than any other.
Now, why is it that they gave defense a higher cut than domestic spending?
Well, it was all part of a ridiculous plan. And when they took the cuts, they said, well, defense will take 50% of the cuts, when it hardly represents that much of the budget. And what are commonly called the entitlement programs, like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, largely were barely touched.
Well, it seems obviously it's come out now that this really was a White House idea, sequestration. Was it the defense cut sort of a way to get at the Republicans because they tend to be more pro-defense, or was there another strategy involved?
Well,
here?
In fairness, it was an idea that came out of the White House. It was Obama's creation, but it was heavily endorsed by 80% of the Republicans. It was a bipartisan compromise. Mm-hmm. But I think the Obama administration said if we go after defense, and then the Republicans are going to be more likely to compromise.
Okay, so it's trying to kind of pushing them more towards negotiation.
That's right.
Okay. Well, it seems like it's interesting that the idea of this was supposed to be fearful for us. We should be afraid of what was happening. And yet, I must admit, when it comes to my president, I want a sense of assurance that things are going to be okay. Where are we getting that sense of assurance at this point?
Is well, not from Washington.
No.
Not from the White House, and frankly, not from either the Republican House or the Democratic-led Senate.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. We're going to switch gears a little bit here. You are by far one of the most experts in the area on Middle East, especially on national security issues. And a lot in the news today between Senator Kerry's visit and some elections happening in Syria. But let's take it back about a decade or so and kind of tell us how we got to where we are now.
Dramatic change in the last 10 years. If we go back a decade ago, it was a region that was largely stable, although it was dominated by dictatorships, the ugly one of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, the mullahs in Iran, dictatorships in Egypt, monarchy in Jordan, dictatorship in Libya with Gaddafi, Tunisia. A lot of that's been swept away by the American interventions in Iraq and Afghanistan and by the Arab Spring.
Okay, so we've had two U.S. interventions now. We've had an election in Egypt. We've had 2 years of civil war in Syria.
Right.
We have, with Assad still in power. Even though Gaddafi's gone, we have low-level insurgents still continuing to fight in Libya. We are now giving, well, I mean, there's the money, which I'll get to next. But is there a chance for democracy? It seems like that's what started with this Arab Spring and that was this hope for democracy. Is there a chance for democracy?
Let a thousand flowers bloom, we thought, to use the Chinese phrase. But in fact, the Arab Springs turned into the Arab winter. The elections yielded an Islamic government in Egypt with the Muslim Brotherhood under Morsi now in charge. We're not obviously happy about the end of Iraq, which is a largely Shia Iran-oriented government in power there, in a festering ethnic conflicts, and an Iran that is moving quickly toward having a nuclear bomb capability, as well as the problems that we've seen in Syria, where 50, 60,000 or more people killed. So it's a region of tremendous turmoil that's been unleashed both by the interventions and by the Arab Spring.
Well, I heard on NPR this morning an election going on in Syria.
In Aleppo, in the town.
Okay.
But not in Syria.
And not in Syria. Well, it kind of explained that. I thought, okay, they're not even, they cannot hold elections in their own country.
Well, Aleppo is sort of the home of the opposition, if you will. It's where it's centered, but the Assad regime is still very strong in that region, so consequently they go across the border to form a city council. But it's a start, and we can only hope that this will lead to the overthrow of the Assad government, and hopefully a multi-party coalition would take charge. But that's a long hope.
Well, I was optimistic by what I heard from some of the quotes today talking about the optimism of the election. So there's a little hope springs eternal, I guess.
we can hope so. But if I'm sitting in, say, Israel, and I'm looking around and seeing what's, you know, I didn't like the dictator Mubarak, but we had peace. I don't like Assad in Syria, but the Golan Heights were tranquil. Now I'm looking to my south and to my north, and I'm very worried about the transition.
Mm. And how about the $250 million that Secretary of Kerry says we're going to give to Egypt? How does that help at this point?
I think right now that Israel would probably be saying, we don't like Morsi, but he may be the best that we have. Don't do anything dramatically different at the present time. So we are continuing aid to Egypt, which is one of our largest recipients. I don't know how much leverage we have and how much longer we will continue to do that should the Muslim Brotherhood begin to really institute some of the commitments that it made during the election.
All right. Well, we'll end right there. We'll be back right after this. Thank you.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Attention antidepressant users. The FDA has associated the use of certain antidepressants with birth defects.
If you took Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, Effexor, Zoloft, Prozac or Prestique and had a child born with a serious birth defect, call the Relion Group now.
Do not delay. There are time deadlines to file a claim.
There is absolutely no risk on your part. You don't owe us a penny unless we are successful.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We're talking with Ty Cobb, a former special assistant to President Reagan. So a big issue in the news these days is drones. Last month, the FAA announced that they were going to start a bidding process looking for six sites around the country to use as a testing facility for drones. Yeah. And these are domestic drones, so more surveillance. Could be anywhere from a $10 billion to $100 billion industry. And I know, just being on the airport board, that the Reno Airport has been teamed up with the governor's office and our military to actually look at becoming one of these sites. And if you look at from Fallon and down to Reno and really down to Nellis, you've got a pretty good interconnection of bases and a lot of open land. But there's going to be a lot of politics in this. I'm sure there's going to be a big fight for becoming one of the sites. It reminds me of maybe like the Super Collider site search process. But does Nevada have a good chance, do you think, in getting this designation from the FAA?
I think so. You correctly pointed out there's been a real revolution. A few years ago, when we thought of drones, it was the Predator, the Reaper, the planes that were controlled out of Creech Air Force Base in Nevada but run over Afghanistan. Tremendous unilateral advantage that we had and no other countries really had. Now we're seeing a proliferation of war drones like this and other countries having that capability. More importantly, as you said, we're now seeing a drone in everyone's backyard. It's going to be used by law enforcement for surveillance. They're going to be the small Raven-type drones. There could be small as a mosquito that will be following you in your backyard. Number one, we need some kind of a regulatory regime for this. And number two, the commercial possibilities are enormous. And Nevada, with Top Gun and Fallon and the Predator and Reaper programs, the UAVs run out of Creech, I think we're well positioned. But I think you've tracked this more closely than anyone else.
Well, I think because the airport has been active in it and saw the potential there, especially with Stead as sort of a base for manufacturing 4,000 acres. So it seems to be a good possibility. But with that also comes some pressure from the right and the left. Recently, Charles Krauthammer questioned really the constitutionality of the invasiveness of these drones. And the ACLU is actually expressing concerns with advanced cameras capable of thermal imaging and microphones that actually would give a law enforcement the ability to unlawful search and seizure. So could we see a backlash here
Well, you pointed out, they are, and it's a right-left coalition. Yeah. The libertarians on the right always concerned about invasion of privacy and freedoms, as in many cases does the ACLU, and that both of them are coming at this and questioning the privacy issues and demanding that some restrictions be placed on them, because it's not just going to be your legal agencies like law enforcement, but they're going to be in private hands too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's a coalition of conservatives and ACLU at the legislature trying to ban the use of drones.
That would be good to see.
They've got a team to get up every now and then. Another part of the drones, though, now is the military use. And obviously it's getting a lot of attention with Obama actually coming out that he's been using drones. And recently the more controversial was the death of Al-Qaeda member who was a U.S.-born citizen, Anwar al-Awlaki in Pakistan. There's John Brennan's, just this week, John Brennan's nomination for the CIA has come up and been delayed because of this policy of the drones being used in war zone, but in also in non-war zones.
That's right, primarily in Yemen, where an American citizen was killed but associated with the terrorist movement by a U.S. Drone. The Obama administration's new approach to warfare in that region is to reduce the footprint of the Americans in terms of the, like, our land forces and greater reliance, as Vice President Biden had recommended, on counterterrorism, which means increasing use on drones on suspected sites that could have, to use the phrase, collateral damage, civilian casualties, and in a couple instances, American citizens.
Well, now, is there a policy against killing U.S. citizens abroad, or is this kind of new territory?
No, absolutely there is. And when this, the president must get a finding that we have an identified American citizen, but working with the terrorist elements, and get approval to target that individual.
All right. And how about the use what the CIA is doing of using these drones for espionage? Is that also sort of an unwritten rule that they have permission, or are they kind of pushing the line there too?
A lot of that's handled in the private courts, mm-hmm. Where the CIA often has to have permission in order for its surveillance. But it's primarily the National Security Agency. Not so much the CIA.
Yeah.
That would be a good program.
We'll have to do that one all on that on our own. Yeah. Well, I want to end with actually more of a happier note. Speaking of the CIA, though, recently Argo won Movie of the Year, which wasn't surprising considering Hollywood played a key role in that movie. So, of course, Hollywood would vote for itself to win an Oscar. But Ben Affleck played a guy named Tony Mendez, and you're familiar with Tony Mendez. Why don't you give us a little background on him?
Tony's a Nevadan. The hero of this, Tony Mendez, the CIA master of disguise, who actually conceived of the Argo movie plot to extricate the Americans hiding in the Canadian embassy. He was born in Eureka and raised partially in Sparks. He and his family lived in a tent at the end of what is now Vista, and he would go down to the Truckee River and bathe in the mornings, later moved to Caliente. So he spent the formative years of his early life in Nevada. And a lot of us would like to celebrate that and see if we can't get Mr. Mendez out here. Tremendous movie and a great, great person. And his story is riveting, isn't it?
It is. That's it. Well, okay, we'll have to work on getting him out here and have him on Newsmakers.
Yes, right.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it. We'll be right back after this.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. NVEnergy.com.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Why are you still sitting on that couch? You know you could be out there cooking for a living. You speak food. That's why you got to call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll help get you out there with training in less time than you think. Sounds good, right? So grab your phone right now and call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll send you a complimentary career guide so you can see what it's really like to work in the culinary arts.
Call 800-817-5790 or text GOLCB68 to 94576. Call or text now.
Did you call yet?
When it comes to late-breaking news, you want to hear about it as it happens.
That's why News 4 is your first source for news at 4 o'clock.
If it's important to you,
it's happening on News 4 at 4.
Hello, and thanks for joining us.
Car accidents can turn your life upside down, and dealing with the insurance adjuster on your own can add insult to injury. I'm Herb Santos, Jr. If you have questions regarding your rights, call me for a free personal consultation. In my office, I help injured people. I work for you.
Tired of your mechanic dragging you around by the neck, telling you have to do this or you have to do that? Do you feel like you have no control? I'm JD, owner of Ultimate Automotive Repair, and I promise you that at Ultimate Automotive Repair, We leave all the decision-making up to you, with no pressure and no nonsense. Come see me today. You've got nothing to lose. And remember, if we don't fix it, you don't pay.
I'm Mary Beth Seawald of News 4, here with Mayor Cashel and Mayor Martini asking you to think local.
Think of our financial decisions and their impact on local jobs.
Think of ways to grow our local economy.
Think local means buying local.
And contracting for local goods and services.
Think about hiring local.
And when it comes to dining and entertainment, think local.
And how about local nonprofits?
Think about our community. Together we can thrive.
Think local for a better Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Power Pundit panel is powerful as always. Robin Reedy, president of our partner, I should say, in Our Politics. Sean Carey, vice president of Nevada Matters Media. And Alyssa Caffaretta, I have to remember which name to use, sorry, lobbyist for Planned Parenthood. All right, so Senator Sellermeyer from Gardnerville is coming up with a new plan for making sure that we're first in the nation in our primaries for the presidential election by offering that we actually have our primaries in January, but that would also mean that we would have our elections for our primaries in January. So we go from the legislature out in July to everybody has to run and be in a primary by January. What do you think?
I think it's legally impossible to get into the first slot because Iowa and New Hampshire laws are set up in such a way that they always are first. And so when we were talking about this last time, they were talking about moving the primaries into December, which I don't think anyone's excited about dragging
the election. But those are their state laws. Can't we ignore their own state laws?
Well, we certainly have.
But the RNC doesn't like them to do
our
that.
Our caucus strategy is involved ignoring other states' laws.
Okay.
It works in theory, but so does communism. It's not a good idea. We do not need to have... Even so, moving the primaries up will be okay for the big-ticket candidates that have seven-figure war chests and access to more money, but for the down-ticket candidates, you can't afford to have a primary that starts a year and a half before the election, then a year-long general election cycle. It's just not going to fly in the state. There's no possible way to make this work. I don't think it's going to pass, and it's a bad idea. Yes, has Nevada bungled the caucuses over and over and over again? Yes, we have. However, the question is, either we start acting like grown-ups and do it at the beginning in a caucus setting the way we've tried to do it, or we go back to June and not be relevant again.
Okay. It's like a full employment bell for campaign
for
managers.
Campaign
if the world was my oyster and I could arrange something, I would say every 10 years have a caucus and the rest have regular primaries, because the first caucus we had brought in a tremendous amount of interest and volunteers to the central committees, to the women's clubs, and got people excited. But after you do that so many times, it's less exciting. So every 10 years have a caucus, and as far as trying to be first, I think it's more important to be relevant by being active in whatever party you choose to be.
Good point. All right, so today at the legislature, there's the margin tax hearing. Now, there's very little chance of the bill actually passing, but it is sort of a pro forma hearing. They're going to have an hour of opposition and an hour of support. How do you see this kind of playing out today? Are we going to see a room stacked with little children?
We'll see a room stacked with teachers and certainly everybody, students and parents and PTAs. The legislature has to act within 40 days on the petition because it got enough signatures. The only thing they can do is either vote it into place now or just let it go forward into the ballot. And basically what I've pretty much heard from both sides of the aisle is they'll just let it go forward onto the ballot in the future and let the voters decide on it. And what you'll hear from the opposition are all the flaws of the bill and why people shouldn't vote for it when it is on the ballot.
Okay. What do you think its chances are at the ballot box?
I think it has good chances at the ballot box. I say that pensively since we are so far out. But, you know, as far as the flaws in the bill, the flaws in the bill is Carson City's complete inability to handle tax policy effectively. And so the groups that are looking for funding need to go to the people. And if that's the way we need to do it, then welcome to California, because now we're going to do everything by initiative process.
Mm-hmm. It's whoever has the most money to push it on the ballot.
Yep. Well, the Retail Association released its poll this past week that showed that that it came out with 58% support, but when people were asked three different questions on the impact of the margin tax, it actually turned to 52% and opposed. So with a little education, I think people will see that that is a devastating tax. It's the worst tax. It's the only one nation is in Texas.
You gotta understand who's doing the poll. The Retail Association is traditionally opposed to these. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the teachers probably have a poll that's very similar where they start and then they ask three more questions, like, do you think your child should have a desk and a textbook? And then I'm sure the support increases. So it'll be a big money campaign, as Robin says. And if the legislature won't act on policies and, you know, making sure every kid in school has a desk, you know, what do you do?
Should the child have a desk? And the question shouldn't be, do you want this tax? The question should be, do you want to pay X for that desk? And then it's
the
person's decision.
That doesn't happen at
yes,
the legislature.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And unfortunately, kids don't have desks.
Yeah.
So,
the bottom line is, it doesn't matter really where the tax is. It always gets passed on to us. We're all going to be ended up paying for it anyway. So that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining another Nevada Newsmaker. We'll see you next time.
Every day I help people hurt in accidents. Do you know the compensation you're entitled to right now and in the future? Do you need my help?
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
How can Grocery Outlet have such great products at such low prices?
Well, when factories change their packaging or have surplus, and when big retailers make large orders but then cancel the order, Grocery Outlet is happy to sell the high-quality products that other stores don't, albeit sometimes in slightly different packaging. At prices up to 50% off, but still 100% guaranteed.
That's how they do it at Grocery Outlet. Bargain Market.
Clean up on aisle 9.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
No, good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Are accidents, motorcycle accidents, injured in an accident?
Do insurance companies stack the deck against you with high-powered attorneys and expert witnesses? Yes, they do.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Thanks for tuning in. You can watch us anytime, 24/7 on NevadaNewsmakers.com. Who knows what we're going to have tomorrow because the legislature's making challenges over here. But we'll be back. See you then.